Go ahead and we'll open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for another day that you've blessed us with and another time we can be with you. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to study it, Lord, that we might hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. Be with the many prayer requests that you know about, Lord, the ones that we always have on our hearts and lift up to you. And we pray, dear God, that you'll just answer them, Lord, as you will. And ask, Lord, to be with the many needs that you know about, and as well answer them as you will. We ask, Lord, you'll forgive us of our sins and help me not to mess up this message to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to open up in the book of Jeremiah today. Book of Jeremiah. Before we do, though, I want to go to 2 Chronicles 34 and 15. We're going to read there. We're living in a time, or Jeremiah is living in a time, looking back to where, and Brother R and I was just helping me with all the different kings. We have Israel, the northern kingdom, and we have Judah, the southern kingdom. And Israel now is destroyed. Israel's gone. It's been taken over by the Syrians, Brother R? Took over Israel and defeated them. Now Judah's left. And Judah has been through several bad kings, one of which is Manasseh. Now Hezekiah was a good king, one of the last good kings. And a couple kings later, we have Manasseh. And as we read through Jeremiah, we're going to find out that destruction is coming and God is repaying because of what Manasseh did. And one of the things Manasseh did was to obliterate the Word of God. He just made us a secular nation. His proclamation made him a secular nation. And it says here that in 2 Chronicles 34, if you go there with me, 15. Now they're starting to. Now there's a new sheriff in town. His name is Josiah. He's the new king. And Josiah comes up, and he's 8 years old when he starts to reign. And then I think it's in the 13th year of his reign. He's now 21, I believe. Is when 2 Chronicles 34:15 is there, and it says here, and Hilkah. Now Hilkah is a high priest. We're going to see the name Hilkah again, but it's a different Hilkah. It's going to be the father of Jeremiah, who is also in the priesthood. And Hilkah answered and said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkah delivered the book to Shaphan. Now here we got the word of God is lost. It has been obliterated in the world, but it existed in the house of God. And that's where they found him. If you want to find God, you won't find him in the world. You'll find him where his word is, and his word is in his house. Okay, and I want you to look at the end of this, 34 and 33. 34:33 says, and Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God, and all the days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Now you have a new king who has made a proclamation. And he said, we are going to follow God. And we're going to find out what happens later, and Judah is still going to be destroyed. But it's going to be for a reason we're going to get into later. But one thing I want us to look into, as it was, so it will be. History repeats itself, and we today live in danger. And we should pay close attention to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah, I forgot to turn me on here. Jeremiah, I'm afraid, is a repeat of today. And if you could address this lesson as anything, address it as the late great planet Earth. Because as it was then, it is worse now. You see, I remember when our president stood on television and said, we are no longer a Christian nation. That statement was made by our president. Now, it could have been just idle words. It could have been something, but you got to remember, the word of a king has meaning. A word of a king has authority. And whatever the word of the king is what the country is. Our president told the world, we are no longer a Christian nation. That edict, that God says for us to watch our tongues.
Our tongues are set on fire in hell. Our words have power. And our president said we're no longer a Christian nation. He basically did the same thing that Manasseh did. Manasseh made an edict, and our president did that. That's scary. You see, there was a time when we were a Christian nation. There was a time when we knew what a church was. We knew what the Word of God. We respected things. One nation under God is what I seem to remember. And the problem that we have here is that all of a sudden, we've kicked God out. He's gone. As far as the nation's concerned. Now, let's get into, and we'll start here, we'll get into this. A couple parallels I want us to see, though. I'm going to get into this. Jeremiah, chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, different priest, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. Now Josiah started reigning when he was 8 years old, and in the 13th year of his reign is when this happened. So Josiah, king, is about 21 years old, came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. So what they're doing there, he's giving you the time frame there. And wait a minute, I gotta keep my stuff, my notes, or I'll get lost here. Verse four. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, this has always been used for a big case against abortion. Is God has a plan for a human before the human is even conceived. And that's, I believe that. So we can fight for right to life on this, but at the same time, what we're seeing here is God knew Jeremiah before Jeremiah was ever formed, before he was ever formed in the womb. God had a purpose and a plan for him. And guess what? God has a purpose and a plan for each of us. Now, we can stop right there, and we can go into a completely different way, and we're going to do it for just about a minute. We're going to quit chasing the rabbit. We have a purpose and a place. We have something we're supposed to do with our life. And if we'll look real quick, it says, let me see if I can remember this. Let me find it here real quick. I think it's in Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, If we're a human being, it's ordained by God for us to find Christ and be saved and be His good workmanship. Hell is full today of people who miss the will of God. Okay? So, not willing that any should perish, right? But yet people miss the will of God every day. It says here, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has a perfect will for my life. The problem with that is me, when I walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Okay? I may have something I want to do, but it's not what God wants me to do. I may think I find happiness or satisfaction, but it'll be only temporary. And then I will run into something. This world is full of people that literally have to medicate themselves, whether legally or illegally, because they cannot find happiness. And you cannot find happiness unless you know God and know His Son Christ and have Him in your life. But we have ordained that we're no longer a Christian nation, and the government will supply happiness for us. Now, you believe that, don't you? Okay. Back into Jeremiah. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. Jeremiah is being called by God to go out. Now he said, I'm a child. He's not saying he's a baby. He's saying I'm a young man. The note said pretty much between 17 and 25 years old. Basically, just about the same age as King Josiah. Now, King Josiah just decreed back in Second Chronicles that we're going to take these, Hilkiah's found the word of God and we're going to follow it. He basically made a decree that this nation's going to get back on track. And you know what the people did? The people followed their king. Now, in their houses, they didn't. But the nation did. Okay? If you go to archaeological digs today in Jerusalem, you're going to find at the time that Nebuchadnezzar came down and obliterated, Babylon just took over and stomped everything in the ground. They're digging today, and they're finding houses. Of course, they just put dirt on top of them and built on top of these houses. But the archaeologists, whenever they go through and they find a little house, you know what they find in it? Little bitty idols. Not Monopoly chess pieces, or not chess pieces, not checker pieces. Idols. Every home had one. The people didn't repent, but the nation said, we shall follow God. Got it? Guess what happened? We said the nation, our president said, we're not going to follow God. We're not a Christian nation anymore. But yet there are some people today that still follow God. Can I see the parallel there? Well, what I'm getting at is here is little Jeremiah, and he's been raised up. God said, I want you to go speak for me. And he said, Lord, I can't. I'm just a child. I'm a young man. I'm a child. I want you to look back. What happened to Moses when God called him and said, I want you to go talk to Pharaoh? What did he say? I can't. What did John the Baptist do when Jesus said, I want you to baptize me? I can't. I need you to baptize me. Everybody that's called to God is not talented. We confuse the world today with talent. Our pulpits today on television are filled with actors who have talent. If you don't believe me, turn on the TV. God does not call talented people. He doesn't. He calls obedient people. God supplies the need. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to be healthy. You don't have to be pretty. You don't have to be nothing. And that's what God wants. How many times have I said, I can't? Just about every day. Just about every day. Jeremiah, no different. He said, Lord, I can't. But yet, and the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He said, you're going to be all right. I'm going to be with you. You're not going to talk. I'm going to talk. I just need you to say my words. I just want you to do what I want you to do. Not worried about your talent, Jeremiah. You see, Jeremiah is known as a, what kind of prophet? Weeping prophet. John the Baptist, of course, it's talks about shouting and proclaiming, but he cried in the wilderness, didn't he? How many TV preachers today cry? How many of them weep? How many of them tell you about your sin? Well, no, we're talking about, we're not weeping. We're happy preachers on TV today. We have talent. We talk about how nice it is to be nice. And if you're nice, it's nice to be nice. Don't you think? Isn't it nice to be nice? Don't y'all like being nice? Isn't it happy? Don't you like smile? Isn't it pretty to be nice? It's a nice day, isn't it? It's nice. And you know what we're going to do next week? We're going to be good. You know why we're going to be good? Because it's good to be good. And I like being good because you know why? Because it's good. Ain't it? And you know what? That makes me happy. And it's a happy thing to be happy, isn't it? It's not sad. It's happy, isn't it? It's nice, good, and happy. You know what we're going to do next one? We're going to talk about how wonderful it is. You see what I mean? They're not weeping prophets. What we need today is to weep over that we are no longer a Christian nation. I went to a NASCAR race about 20 years ago, Nashville, Tennessee. To get into the NASCAR race, you have to go through a tunnel. In that tunnel was about a 21-year-old guy. He was standing up on top of the tunnel. There was about 20,000 people shoveling through that tunnel to get into the NASCAR race on a Sunday morning, and I was there. Okay? You know what that guy was doing up there on top of the tunnel? He had a Bible. I'll never forget it. And he knew he had just a few minutes to preach, because you're going underneath there, and he was talking about how we need to repent. Jesus is coming. We need to get our hearts right. And when that bunch would go under, he just the same message. He cried the same message over and over. When I sit there and I listen to that man, I thought, man, he's a little street preacher. Wasn't talented, wasn't a great message. It was just a little message. And I thought, man. But you know what I heard? Even 20 years ago, I heard scoffing. People making fun of him. People talking about him. You need to shut up. Hollering back at him. Trying to get him off his game. But yet, I thought, man. And of course, I amended him. But guess what? I wasn't in church. I was going to NASCAR race. I didn't stand up and tell the guy next to him, shut up. That's the word of God. You need to snap to it. I didn't do that. I went in the NASCAR race. Today, we've been told we're no longer a Christian nation. You know what I did? I went to work the next day. I paid my taxes. And I was a good boy. And I didn't sit up on top of the tunnel and scream at everybody, we messed up. I could have. But see, I'm not really talented. And people might look at me funny. They might put me in prison. They might tase me. They might pluck my beard. They might take my house away from me. They might put a garnishment on my check. They might do a bunch of things. You know what? When we get into Jeremiah, I tell you why he wept. He was not a happy prophet. God did not tell him to go buy a new house. God did not say you're going to get a $54 million jet. Jeremiah had a tough time. But he did the very will of God that sent him. And I went into a NASCAR race. I wonder what my little street preacher is today. I wonder how many people died between then and today that passed through that tunnel. How many of them scoffed and missed that perfect will of God for their life. I am the Lord thy God. Wait a minute. Verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Jeremiah is not talented. He is not rich. He is not powerful. He's a young man. He isn't even quite respected yet because he's just 17 to 25 years old. He has been called to stand before the king, the princes, the Congress, the Senate, the mayor, all the people in power. This young man has been called to give them a word. Yes, he's going to tell them to repent, but that's not all the message. Jeremiah is going to tell them, the end is not near. The end is here. It's over. Manasseh messed up. We have messed up. God is going to take us into captivity. We are going to be destroyed. Later you're going to find out that Jeremiah is taken and put into prison. Wasn't in a pit? He's put in a pit. But the kings, after Josiah, didn't like him. And the reason they didn't like him was because he didn't prophesy the way they wanted him to prophesy. You see, he said, give up because Babylon's going to take you anyway. You might as well go on into what it is. You ain't going to win. God's going to get you. The success of his prophesying was found not only in his lifetime did his prophecies come true, but even after his lifetime his prophecies come true. Much like Isaiah. He did not miss a one. They wanted him for treason because he was speaking against the kings. The kings were trying to tell everybody it's going to be all right. We're not a Christian nation anymore. But we're going to make you happy. It's going to be all right. And he's saying, hey, we're not a godly nation anymore, and God's going to destroy us. I fear today that we live in a time that Jeremiah lived in. I fear that we could be taken like that. And if not, that could be 20 years. In God's time, I've blinked my eyes, and my kids have grown up through college. I remember my kids standing right here in first grade reciting the alphabet. The graduation. I remember that. My girls are looking at moving out. We're going to go look at a house today for Miss Megan. And she stood right there, and I remember. I remember the first day I cried and turned her loose to come here to kindergarten. She was crying, and I was crying worse than she was. Like, that's changed. Guess what, folks? Don't blink your eyes. The world I grew up in is gone. It ain't the same. It ain't. And you know what's different? People once looked at a man of God, a church, a family, God's Word. They looked at it and they reverenced it. But it says here in verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Now right here, he said, I've called you, now I'm going to equip you. Now he equips him. He said, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I want you to go for me. He's willing, and he touches him. Remember how, was it Isaiah said, no, who was it said, I'm a man of unclean lips? Is that Isaiah? Behold, I'm Isaiah. And what happened? Put a coat. God equips him. God equips him with his word. He said, don't you worry about their faces. Then the Lord God put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Verse 10, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? and let me stop here. I have done these things. Jeremiah, do not be afraid of their faces. There was a time when this country as a nation looked upon our God with reverence. Now we do not. We as Christians today, if we don't watch out, we will leave out here and we'll knock on the door, and you know what? Somebody will say, it ain't right. You can't talk about homosexuality. You can't talk about race. You can't talk about anything that's sinful. When you talk about sin at any particular time, you are classified as a cult. You are classified as a fanatic. You are classified as a liberal. Is that a cult fanatic follower? They look at us with disdain, much as this country looked at Jeremiah in the day, right? Disdain. Who are you? Huh. Who do you think you are? Huh. A look. Do you realize you and I can be defeated with so much as a sneer? Go into your bank, tell them you want to buy a new car, and they look at you and go, huh. What are you going to do if your banker goes, I can't buy a new car? He just told me, body expression. But what I'm getting at, today we look at Christian people, the Bible, God, His Word, His law with disdain. And if we don't watch out, if there was 20 people, if I was the little street preacher today at the NASCAR race, how many people walking through that tunnel would throw rocks at me? Do you realize they could call the police and they could have that guy drugged down and tased and hauled off today? Try to go to New York City and preach on a street corner and see if the police don't show up. Well, we got him. Now, I'm just saying, just a look. We're not defeated by words. We're not, and he is warning Jeremiah. He said, don't you care. Don't you worry. Listen, Jeremiah is going to get beat on. He's going to get thrown in prison. And he's going to get to a point to where he says, I don't even want to talk about God no more. I am done. There you go. Done. And all of a sudden he starts opening up his mouth again. I got to talk about God. Because God's word in me. You don't understand. And what I'm getting at, we can be defeated if we go in our talent. If we go, you know what? If somebody told you, hey, you can't have your job anymore, teacher, because you had a Bible on your desk. Basically destroyed by a look. Huh. Can't have that. Take that away. Jeremiah didn't fear having his job taken away. Some people would. So, go back in here. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. At my job, we have a landfill construction company. They had a job called IBC, which is Old Baptist Church up on Main Street in Henderson. I thought how terrible it was. We're tearing down an old church. I think it's like First Baptist Church. And it's a big, great big, huge church built back, 70, 80 years ago. And they had a picture, they had a video of it there at work where they tore it down. And usually when the track hose go in, they grab the brick and then they pull the brick down and then they have to go all the way around and pull the brick down. Then they have to go back and they have to get places and all that. And I thought, man, this is terrible that they're tearing that church down. I thought, that's awful. I just hate to see a church tore down. Well, they got everybody out of the way, and then they started. They brought the track hoe in. The track hoe reaches up, and Clifton grabbed it about where that beam, on the outside, and he grabbed it, and he grabbed the first brick, and when he did, it come off like dominoes. And it went to the other side. That brick, it just fell off like dominoes. Never seen nothing like it. The guys were so surprised that we're filming, they took off running because they wasn't prepared for it to just explode like that. And then when it did, when the brick come off of it, the main beam in the center of the church fell, and when it did, the roof fell in, and the whole building was just one. Just as that church was rotten and needed to be torn down. It says here, I have this, they said, to root out. Somebody rooted out that church and knew that, hey, this building is not safe for people to be in anymore. It says here, and to pull down. And Clifton, you know where the church was they tore down up there in Henderson? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. When he hit that thing, I mean, it just come down. To pull down and to destroy. And you know what we did? We took that church, we crunched it up in little bitty pieces, loaded it on a dump truck. We destroyed it. Then, we not only did that, to throw down. We put it in a landfill, throwed it down in the ground and covered it up. And to build. We took our dump trucks, we took fresh topsoil, and we took every stitch of concrete, everything out of that, and left a big empty hole, we filled it up with fresh dirt. And to plant. And we went out there with our laborers, and we put seed in the ground and straw. And today, the grass should be coming up out there if you drive by. That's what Hazex Construction did. That's what Jeremiah's doing. He's saying you got a problem with this building, with this religion. It's rotten. It ain't safe for people to be around it no more. And I'm going to take my track hoe, which is God, and he's going to tear it down. And we're not going to tear it down. We're going to cut it up in little pieces. It ain't even going to exist anymore. Judah, you're not going to exist. And not only that, we're going to haul you up, and we're going to take you away, and we're going to bring fresh dirt in, and we're going to start all over again. We're going to grow something. If we look at a picture of Paul, Paul is kind of a picture of that church building. Paul is now the what is it, Sanhedrin? Is that what he was? He's Sanhedrin. He said, if there's anybody that kept the law, I, Saul, did it. Pharisee of the Pharisees. God breaks him, just like that church I was talking about. Takes him down to nothing. All the things he know are of naught. And was it, who was the guy that was in the city where Paul was, where Paul's blind and God goes to? Ananias. And you know the first thing Ananias does when God says, hey, Ananias, I need you to do something for me? What did Ananias say? I can't. God, you're talking about Paul, or Saul. You have made a mistake, God, because I am on that guy's hit list. You don't want me to go over there and help him. You have made a mistake, God. I can't. You see how this works? I think when you're born, they tattoo I can't on the inside of your tongue. But what I'm getting at, and here God takes all that, and we have a picture of it today, how Paul goes out. That's what I'm getting at. God said, I'm going to do it different. I'm going to tear it down. I'm going to rebuild it. I'm going to replant it. And Jeremiah, that's what I want you to do. And it's starting, and you tell them that. Moreover, verse 11, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. The olive tree in this case is called the awakening. It has something to do with the awakening. He said, what do you see? He said, I see an olive, or almond rod. In January, the almond tree blooms in that particular, it blooms months ahead of anything else. So whenever the people go through a long, hard winter, they wake up and they say, hey, wait a minute, the olive tree bloomed today. It won't be long, spring will be here. And we know that spring is going to be here because just as sure as the world, the almond tree bloomed. Not only is it the awakening tree, but it's also the hastening. That word means hastening, which means going to do it right now. And as I'm fond of saying, R-E-T-N-O-W, right now. It's happening. So, he said, what see? I see an almond bush. He said, you're right. He said, Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. He said, what I'm telling you, that word I just put in your mouth, rest assured, it will happen. It will happen in your lifetime. It's not something you're going to say in 300 years from now it's going to come to pass. You tell him it's going to happen now. And the word of the Lord, in verse 13, came to me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Now, seething pot is boiling. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of boiling you boil your greens or simmer. This ain't a simmer where it's staying inside the pot. This is filling the pot all the way full of water. This is turning the stove on high, and as high as it'll go. And the water not only boils, but the water kind of explodes out of the pot. How many times have you done that, left the room, forgot that you left the taters boiling, and all of a sudden they're coming over, they're hitting, and they're... It's not only that, it's the kind of boiling that just explodes. This is the seething pot that he says, and he says it's pointed toward the north. That's telling him what direction that this turmoil is fixing to come from. It says here, and the face thereof is towards the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Even though during Josiah, the nation had come back to God, and the edict had been made, we're going to follow God. I'm going to rebuild the temple. We have found the Word of God. We're going to follow Him. Two bad kings come, and then what was the... Brother R, what was the last king? I've been forgotten now. Judah. You're going to get it whenever you teach it later, but... I know. But anyway, what I'm getting at, Josiah passes away. And when Josiah passes, other kings come. He's basically told Jeremiah, he said, this is what's going to happen. Even though the nation repented, even though Washington repented, I'm going to judge you for all those things you did in your house. Remember me telling you about the archaeologists? They found the idols. Even though outside they said, oh yeah, we're a godly nation. And God respected that because the nation respected him. But God judged them because what was going on in the houses. Jehoiachin or Kim? Jehoiakim. But anyway, that's the judgment he's talking about. He's not judging Josiah. Josiah turned them back. But guess what happened after Josiah? First thing they did, forget it. Build the groves again. Let's go back to the way it was. And guess what? In the hearts of the people, that's the way they were. We've been blessed for a long time in this nation because we have said God is our God. One nation under God. That has been taken away. We really see what's underlined, what's been in the hearts of people all along. I fear for what's going to happen to us in just a very short time. It says here, they have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Verse 17, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. He's saying you are going to say hard words to them. They are not going to like it. First thing they're going to do is say, who are you? And if you don't watch out, you're going to... If you and I... How many times kids go in the principal office? How many times does kids go in the principal office? But when they do, do you grin and say hi? Or you know why they're in there? You have a different face whenever they come in. Right? Call it our war face. Or you have a stern look. They're going to look at you, Jeremiah. And if you don't watch out, you're going to read their faces. And you're going to forget who I am. Today, the church will not preach against sin because it's not fashionable. We see the faces of the world. Oh, we'll talk about reform, but we won't talk about repentance. Sounds the same. It's a good philosophy, isn't it? We are going to worship something. Now, we can either worship the Word of God and Him and His will and His law, or we can follow philosophy. And that's what it is. Philosophy's okay. You know what? We can go out here and we can build houses. And we can promote racial equality all day long. And we can promote gender equality. And we can do all that in this church right here. And you know what? The world is going to applaud Grace Baptist Church. But the first time he stands up and says, you need to repent because you got things going on in your houses like these idols and you stink to high heaven before God, they're going to tell him you can't preach no more. We're going to turn the TV off. You ain't getting on TV no more, Brother R. Their faces. He said, don't you worry about what they look like. Don't you worry about their scorn. Don't you worry, little NASCAR preacher sitting up on the hill, whenever they're hollering at you, you just preach your word. I'll take care of you. I won't be here next week, but I'll be here the following. We're going to get into what they did to Jeremiah and things he had to go through. Fear not. And don't you pay no attention, lest I confound you. I'll take my word away from you. I'll leave you hanging if you chicken out on me, Jeremiah. You tell them what I said. It says here, for behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar with brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against all the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. God just gave him an absolute get-out-of-jail-free card. He gave him a Superman suit, and he gave him superpower. He said, can't nothing touch you because I'm your God and I'm with you and my word's in your mouth. What do you think happened the first time they throwed him down? Didn't they pluck his beard out? Didn't they throw him in prison? Where was God when all that was going on? He was right there with him. Just because you are called to do what God wants you to do does not mean you're going to get a new Cadillac, a Learjet, and a bank account. It is not that way. Do you think John the Baptist? What did John the Baptist do? No greater born of woman than John the Baptist. And he's sitting there in prison about to get his head cut off. And God's saying, that's my boy. You see what I mean? We might be called to do the will of God. Not because we got talent, but because we're willing. And even though the world throws you in prison, plucks your beard out, gets ready to cut your head, may take my property, my job away from me and not allow me to eat, guess what? God is still with me. And you know what? One day, when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, those that did the things they did to Jeremiah will be convicted of that. What they did to John the Baptist, they have to pay for that. They wish they hadn't. God is with us no matter what we go through. We'll find that out in the life of Jeremiah. Father, thank you for your day. Thank you for your word. Be with us and help us to live and glorify you. Be it the hour to come. These many things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.